right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, February 3rd of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NBA main slate for playing on DraftKings, 10-game NBA main slate playing on FanDuel, and then a single NHL showdown today. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server, if you're on our Discord. Want to get access to that channel? There is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. It is a Monday, so we do have our build review show, which will be going live in about an hour here, 5 p.m. Eastern. We have a couple people signed up already, so should be a fun one over there as well. So hope everybody's having a good Monday here. It is Super Bowl week, right? So we finally have the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday, so I'm sure we'll be having plenty of questions around that as we roll into the week. Quick update. We will only be having office hours Monday through Thursday of this week. And today will be our only build review until next week. So I'm going to be taking a couple days off here next weekend, and we will resume shows accordingly. So I'll mention that a couple times throughout the week here. But with that said, let's get SaberSim up and let's jump in to some questions. First question that came in said, is there a percentage of the player you want to pick lineups from when playing just 20 lineups? Do we want to play the top 10% or 30%, etc.? Do we want to be extremely spread out and use lineups all the way at the end, close to 500? Okay, so this is a bit of a player pool question. So basically the user is saying, hey, you know, when I'm only playing 20 lineups, how big do I want my player pool? Kind of is what they're asking, right? Or another way of phrasing it is, you know, how far down in your pool do you want to go, right? They're saying, hey, do I want to play lineups from the top 10%, lineups from the top 30%, right? So this question can be answered a couple different ways. I'm going to answer it for starter plan, which this user's on here, right? So 500 lineups. The biggest thing to consider is how far down in your pool you're going to go, right? Player pool-wise, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. If you want to curate your player pool to some extent, if you want to, you know, put in a projection filter or manually uncheck some players, like that, that's totally cool if that's your thing, right? But the bigger concern is how far down in your pool you're going. And the idea here comes from the contest sims, which I'll show you. So we didn't used to like recommend this advice, something a little bit newer. So let's say that we're playing, I already have a manual contest sim. That's going to work just fine for this example. So we go back to the build where we ran lineups. We run the contest sim, right? And after the contest sim finishes, let's just go in and put in a filter. So we say, show lineups with ROI greater than zero. Okay, well, when we do that, we can see how many lineups go in the trash. It's about here in this example, about 300, right? So this is basically why we recommend on the starter plan that you try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of your pool. So what would that mean? What does that look like, right? So let's turn this off. You know, you don't have ROI available. And then you come in here. It's like, well, what I would do, right, 20 lineups, I would scroll down to the last lineup in my set. That way, anytime I make adjustments, I can see how far down in my pool I'm going. So like if I go from one unique to four, I'm at lineup 38. Okay, I go from one unique to six, I'm at lineup 251. And I'll remove the question, right? We're looking at the rank of the lineup as we make adjustments. I would basically not go further than six uniques here, because then we're going to be getting into the second half of our pool of lineups here. And just from what we see from like using an ROI filter is that, you know, about half of our lineups are going in the trash. So that that makes it easier for me to come in here and say like, hey, you know, if you're sorting by Saber score, right? Try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of your pool. And we're basically saying that you're more likely to play positive ROI lineups, staying in the top 25 to 50% of your pool based on what we see in the using the contest sims, right? So we're assuming here that the top 50% of your pool is a lot higher ROI than the bottom half. So that's what I would recommend there. As far as player pool goes, you know, if I like go back to like one unique here, I have 41 players in my player pool. And then when I jump it up to six, I have 59. I think that's okay. You know, if you wanted to come in here and do like some player pool curation up front, you know, filters, even like Minimax exposures, things like that, that's all kind of personalizing the approach a little bit here. So I don't have a ton of recommendations there, but as far as like Saber score and going and looking at your pool, you know, these are my big tips here for using that. All right. Good stuff there. Good one to get us kicked off. Next question, game psychology question. With DFS being a lose more nights than you win endeavor, how important is it to find and trust a good process versus making tweaks to strategy every night after you lose? Find the content review process a good way of remaining sane and weathering the storm, easier said than done, but process over results. Good question. Really good question, right? So this second part is you know, super valuable, right? So like, you know, when you're losing every day, you know, obviously it's you want to win, right? So naturally you're going to want to change something. You're like, hey, you know, I did X, Y, and Z last night and it didn't work. You know, today maybe I try A, B, and C instead, right? The problem with that is that if you're changing your process like every day, right? It makes it really hard to be objective in the analysis process, right? So what I recommend people do, and this is a process that Andy actually made me go through. He said, hey, just sit down to build your lineups and write down everything you do. Don't worry about anything else. Just write it all down. I'm like, okay. And then after, you know, after the slate starts or after the slate's over, whenever you have some time, go through that list and justify each step and just say, okay, why did I do this? And write your reason. And then what I found is that some things I was doing, I didn't feel that strongly about, and maybe, you know, it wasn't worth it, right? Maybe I was wasting more time. Maybe it wasn't the highest value thing I could do. So what happens there, right, is you start to get rid of things that aren't as important. And what that does is it frees up time for the things that are important. Because I would go through that list and be like, okay, you know, these things, I know exactly why I do them. I know exactly why they're adding value. What it does is it allows more time for those high value things and takes away, you know, a lot of the fluff, a lot of the time consuming things that may not even be worth it in the first place. So one, it does that, right? Makes your process leaner, makes your process stronger. And then the second thing is that it gives you a very, very like clear thing to analyze. So like when you're in contest review and you're, you know, reviewing your lineups and your sim ROIs, you're like, okay, you know, my ROIs aren't great. What do I need to add to this? Right. And one thing I found sometimes when I get ideas in my head, you know, let's just say I'm keeping my process in my mind, right? I don't really write it down, but I have a general sense of like what I do, what I don't do. Sometimes I forget old things that are good because I'm focused on the new things I want to add. That is a mistake, right? You don't want to do that. If you have something that adds value, you want to continue to do it along with the new ideas, right? Well, when you're just kind of keeping the process in your mind, sometimes, you know, you forget, right? When I have that checklist, right? When I have that process written down, pen and paper, Word doc, whatever it is, you know, you are less likely to forget the old things and you can still add the new in, right? And then also, right, you could take things away. So it's like, hey, you know, I'm reviewing my results, you know, not doing too good. I've been doing this one thing in my process. Maybe I could try taking it out. You know, maybe I can skip it. Hold on one sec. excuse me, had a sneeze. But you know, maybe you decide to skip it, right? Like, hey, you know, I have this bullet point. I'm going to highlight it red. And tonight I'm going to try skipping it, right? Or I'm going to try skipping it for a couple of days and see how it goes. And then maybe you see your ROIs go up. You're like, okay, you know, maybe I should remove it, right? You call that like a little trial period, you know, that like 3-day stretch where you remove it and, you know, you see how your results grade out and stuff, or you put it back, right? You could test, but it's good to have, you know, something written down that you can go through over and over again. Second part. No, that was a big part of it. And then I do just want to, you know, show an example here about like how important this can be. So this is a snapshot of like bankroll simulations that we did, right? So basically every line on the graph represents a different season. Okay. So what we do is we take a player who has a expected 20% ROI in this contest, which is the four seamer, $4, 20 max for MLB. We put them through a 160-day season. So we're saying, hey, they're playing this contest 160 times throughout the year. And then we run it through our simulations. And then we basically say, hey, you know, in this many sims, the player made this much money. That many sims, the player made that much money, et cetera, right? We get an idea of their like average expectation over time. I think it's safe to say this player has a winning process, right? They have a good process. You know, there are times where one, they lose a small percentage of the time over a season. And then there are times like this red line, you know, they lost for plus 5,000 on the year. And you look back at the year like, oh yeah, you know, I won $5,000. It was a good season. But like, imagine every week, right? Every day, every week, every month that they lost, like, you know, 30 days in a month, they lose for a whole month. They lose for a second month, a third month, a fourth month. It isn't until, you know, 4.5 months in that they have that win that takes care of all these losses, right? And so this is why contest selection is important. This is why bankroll management is important. You know, you want the swings to be as little as possible, right? So like, you know, these small treks down and then this big spike, you know, it's kind of what you're trying to do in DFS. You want like a one or two of these a season. And like, you know, sometimes you're super lucky and you get this big spike right at the beginning. And then sometimes you get it really late at the end of the year, right? And you don't know, you know, which one of these it's going to be, unfortunately. But, you know, there are so many different ways that your season can play out, even if you're a winning player, right? Like, it was either, like, last NFL season or the season before, somebody won, like, 15K in January in the playoffs, and they were like, I lost money every single week of the NFL regular season, but this win paid for all those losses and made me profitable for the year. And like, sometimes that happens, you know? So this is why having a good process, analyzing the process, you know, trusting that your process is good is super important. And Contest Flashback gives you, you know, that sense, right? So I think reviewing your process should be a staple. What I normally recommend is like, hey, before I get ready to build my lineups today, you know, I should look at my results from yesterday. And the good thing is that, you know, projections aren't like, you know, dialed in first thing in the morning, right? Like those aren't the final projections that you're going to use to build your lineups for, you know, your NBA contest that lock. But yeah, plenty of time, you know, in the morning and in the afternoon to review your results from yesterday. So it kind of gives you, you know, an idea of like, hey, you know, I'm going to log on in the morning. I'm going to check my results from yesterday. And then I'm going to start getting familiar with the slate for today, right? It's like a lot of people are like entering their contests in the morning, you know, trying to get ready. And, you know, you can just work that into your daily routine. Like, hey, I'm going to set aside, you know, 10 minutes to go through my contest with the most entries. And, you know, I'm going to try and get a sense for how my lineups graded out yesterday, right? And, you know, you look at your results, look at some of your metrics, look at some of the higher sim ROI players in the lobby, see what they did different. The other good thing is that, you know, the decisions from yesterday are usually, you can still remember them before you start muddying the water and looking at today. It's like, you know, if I start looking at today and I'm like, oh, Zion's questionable and, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's out and, you know, Jalen Brunson's questionable, you know, that might like muddy my mind as to why I made some of the decisions I made yesterday. If I start looking at today before reviewing last night's slate, right? So another good reason to like review last night's slate, you can kind of remember what some of the weird situations were. Maybe you made some decisions here and there, and then you can compare the decisions you made to the decisions that, you know, other top players in your contest made and in contests you didn't play make, like top pros. And then you can get an idea of like how they handled it. And then that information can be kind of fresh in your mind. So that's what I would recommend. All right. Another good one there. Jerry said, does Autofill show each lineup's rank? It does not. So the way that Autofill works is, well, let's just test this before I start saying stuff, but like I'm almost positive it doesn't. All right, let me enter something here real quick. So I'm going to go to A Game Main tonight. And let's do this. Where's the quarter jukebox? There it is. All right. So go to contests. Let's upload an entry file. All right. I just threw one entry in the dime, one entry in the quarter for the demo. We go back to our build. We'll rerun the contest sim with the new contest we've entered. Okay, we're going to go to autofill. We have target ROI. And then I click save, right? So once I click save, I can click these drop downs. And then this is the information it shows. So it shows the lineups. And then it shows the summary statistics. It doesn't show you where these lineups were ranked in, you know, by the method that's being chosen. If you want to see it, you can go to direct. You can uncheck a contest and just check one. And then this is effectively the same way of getting that information. So it's rank one, you know, it's only one lineup. If I had more lineups and then these uniques were applied, I could see the ranks, but you're not going to be able to see that information in autofill based off of, you know, the demo we just ran. But wanted to confirm that before saying for sure. All right. Going back to office hours here, got a question from Sammy. So let's get this one queued up. Question says, when looking at the default metrics, they use adjusted ownership instead of my own. Will that make calculations different within the builder? Follow-up, suggesting for display purpose in the post-build to show the average my own instead of adjusted own, any advantages of that when looking at player exposures as well as leverages? Thanks. Okay, so a couple things here. So let's go back to direct fill. So we're talking about two things, right? We're talking about ownership and we're talking about adjusted ownership. So in SaberScore, when you go and click the eye icon, we do use a negative weight on average adjusted ownership. Okay, so what is this? So if you pull this lineup pane out, you're going to see this additional column. So we have ownership, and then we have adjusted ownership, right? These numbers are fairly close here for a sport like NBA. Pretty interesting. You know, you see Nikola Jokic, right? His ownership is 24. His adjusted ownership is a lot less, like 6% less, right? This is actually really good, okay? If So the way you should think about this, so what is adjusted ownership doing first? What it's doing is it's looking at the player's ownership, and then it's looking at their range of outcomes. So you click on this player, you see their graph, and then it's basically telling you how likely this player is to hit their projection and how good of a play they are, okay? So when the players are hitting their projection often, their adjusted ownership is going to be low, okay? So when adjusted ownership is higher than the player's ownership, that is bad, okay? So when, you know, Keon Ellis is projected for 39% own and his adjusted own is 49%, that's bad. The builder is saying like, hey, this guy's actually pretty risky. And the reason that the number ends up being higher, it goes with SaberScore because we're using a negative weight here. I'll say it again. The higher the average adjusted ownership, the bigger this negative weight ends up being, and that hurts the overall output of the SaberScore formula. So, you know, when the average adjusted ownership is lower, well, then it makes the impact of this negative weight smaller, right? So basically the lower the adjusted ownership, the better for players. And then the higher the adjusted ownership, that indicates the play might not be as good for the ownership that they're at. Okay. So here it's saying, the second part I'm a little confused about. So it says, suggesting for display purposes in the post build to show the average my own instead of adjusted own. So it is showing the average my own, right? So there's two things here. There's ownership, which is the own percent here. This is sum ownership. That is the sum of the my own section. And then there actually isn't an adjusted sum. We just created that as a custom metric one time just for like display purposes. So like if I'm on SaberScore, you actually don't see the sum here, but you do see the columns, right? So if you don't want to see it, you can either like hide it by shrinking, or you can even right click edit lineup columns and get rid of adjusted ownership if you don't want to see it at all. So the adjusted ownership is used in the SaberScore formula, but you should see ownership first. You can see adjusted ownership if you want, or if don't want, you can hide it. And then this own here is the sum ownership of the my own column, not adjusted own column. So, you know, here my own is the same sum own, and then the adjusted own. Like, see, I even move it. You know, I don't even really care to see it. I just like put it off to the right so I don't have to see it. So that's what's going on here. All right. Good stuff there. I think I hit all the aspects of this question. And then follow up from Sammy said, when you do the review lineups, you always speak about when setting up average ownership, but you always use my own instead of adjusted own. Was just wondering why. So the reason that I'm mostly using the my own or the regular own is because that represents the actual ownership of the player in the contest. The adjusted ownership is really just like an in-house metric we created that goes with our player range of outcomes. You know, it's not representing how likely the player is to be owned in your contest, right? So when we do, like, for instance, a geometric mean formula, we want to use the number that's representing how likely the player is to be owned in the contest. We don't really care about the player range of outcomes because we're trying to get a sense of duplication in that instance. We're not trying to get a sense of how likely the player is to achieve their projection and what a optimal or like a how the adjusted ownership is, like, looking at the player graphs and then looking at the ownership and it's saying, is this player worth this ownership or should they be rostered at a lower rate, right? So like here it's a little bit inverse though, because like here Jokic's ownership is 24. His adjusted ownership is 17. This is saying that he could be rostered at an even higher rate to build their things, right? If I put own up to 36, his adjusted own is going to change, right? It's going to come up. If I put it up to, 50, his adjusted ownership comes up, right? These guys move their my own is an input into the adjusted own formula. So they're going to change. NHL might be a little bit better example. So like, let's go to NHL real quick. Single slate might not be the best. Let's go to like yesterday. So let's go to the six game main NHL slate from yesterday. So if I just sort by ownership. So here, right? Carter V has a ownership of 34, adjusted to 48. Builder is saying this, that he's a riskier play, right? You click on his name, and then you see, like, why. His range of outcomes is not, you know, this nice, normal, bell-shaped curve distribution, right? It kind of skews to the side. So what you could do, right, is you could lower his ownership. You know, maybe we cut it in half. And his adjusted ownership ends up getting a lot closer, right? So let's try 13. And 13 is really close. So when his ownership is 13%, the builder actually likes him. He's saying, hey, you know, the gap between ownership and adjusted is a lot closer now. So the builder is saying, when this player is owned 13% of the time, this is actually a good play. The adjusted is actually really close. But when he is owned 34% of the time, the gap between own and adjusted own gets wider. And the builder is saying, ah, this guy's like pretty risky for like being 34% owned, and it's going to tax lineups with him in it more. And then this gap gets bigger, right? So this is actually a bad thing. And when the numbers are closer, or when the adjusted is less than the own, those are actually really good things, right? Like we saw with Jokic. So keep that in mind. And then Sammy said, gotcha. He answered my thoughts. Cool. Awesome. Good stuff. All right. Taking a peek in office hours here. We are caught up. That question from Sammy was our last one. I think we're caught up here in the YouTube chat as well. So cool. Awesome. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm going to be back in about 30 minutes for our build review show. So until then, everybody, thanks for tuning in. See you guys soon, and bye.